Mother's Day is right around the corner, and just like the rest of us, moms are looking forward to those colorful, colorful plants. And have you noticed that as you get older, you just don't need or want stuff so much, but those plants, you know, for Mother's Day, those are pretty nice things to have. Larry Mueller here. Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk. Melinda Myers, our Milwaukee-based garden expert and author of more than 20 books, including the brand new Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening book. Our guest today, she's also the host of Melinda's Garden Moments, and we love it when she joins us. And Melinda, always a pleasure.
Hey, it's always great to chat with you, and I love connecting with your listeners. There's so much fun, and when I'm out and about, it's always great when someone comes up and says, hey, I heard you on Larry's show. Isn't he wonderful? And I'm like, yes, he is, as nice as he seems on radio. So,
well, thank you. Thank you very much for that, and happy Mom's Day early.
Thanks.
It's just around the corner, actually.
It is, and you pegged it right. I think moms, you know, I'm getting to that point where I don't have room for stuff. I don't want anything to dust, but there's always room for plants, either indoors, cut flowers, or plants for outside, too. And so I think if your mom's a gardener, my mom wasn't, but I would always buy her plants and say, and when it dies, Mom, you just put it in the, have Dad put it in the compost pile. No guilt attached. She was okay.
Well, what are some good options for, let's take flowering plants that we could keep indoors?
You know, a couple of things. You know, the hydrangeas are beautiful. We, as gardeners, think of the hydrangeas for outdoor, but a lot of the florists force those hydrangeas. We can't really grow very well outside, the ones with the blues and the purples, because they can treat them with the aluminum sulfate, put them in acidic soil, and they're kind of borderline hardy here. They bloom on old wood, but they have the environment to force them to bloom, and they're so beautiful.
Yes.
And you could enjoy them in a basket indoors, set them outside as the temperature's warm. You know, all of the traditional things are still out there. The mums, the cyclamen, we are seeing more and more and more throughout the year. They look like little stars, shooting stars, and they're beautiful in whites and pinks and purple. I'm even seeing some hellebores, known as Lenten rose. And those often are forced for indoor bloom, and then we can put them outside, which is also very nice.
Yeah, that's cool. What about green plants?
You know, and you know, sometimes we forget. I think they're coming back. Actually, I started my career in a plant store in the late 70s. Some of you may remember when they had such things, and they were all indoor plants. And there are a lot of indoor plants that we can use. There are lots of new Chinese evergreens. They don't look like an evergreen, more like a dumb cane or a diefenbachia, with pretty green leaves with silver highlights. Some of our begonias we use outside can work well indoors and still flower for us, too. Like the Rex begonias have beautiful leaves with swirls and designs in them, so you get that nice benefit. Lots of dracaenas. We may know Dracaena the spike in our container plants, but there's lots of them like corn plant that have leaves that look just like corn. Some like the dragon tree, which have narrow leaves with variegation. And then there's all the philodendrons, you know, the traditional vining type to the ones with the cut leaves to some with a little more pubescent leaves, a little hairier and a little silver. And the same with the pothos, too, that looks very similar. And, you know, your florist or garden center can help you if you're at a loss, you know, what do I do? And one of the things I like to do is get a big basket, one with a plastic liner, and then use several smaller pots in that. So I could maybe put a small-scale flowering plant with some green plants, and that way as they get bigger, it's easier to switch things out. Or I can change, you know, use a variety of plants that may not need the same moisture, but because they're in different pots, individual pots, I can mix it up a little more. That flowering plant fades, I put something new, like an azalea. Azaleas are great this time of year. And you can keep them going for a while indoors in a cool, bright location or outside in the summer and then back indoors in the winter if it's not a hardy type.
You know, I kind of like hanging plants.
You know, excellent choice. And outdoors, I think fuchsias are always a favorite. I was just tooling a garden center because it was a rainy day, and what do gardeners do when they can't garden? You go look for plants to buy. And a beautiful combination. I like black-eyed Susan vine, and it's just a yellow or an orange flower with a dark center. And this garden center had put in one of the purple sweet potato vines with it, like Blackie. And it was a really pretty combo. And I have a red house right now, so if my daughter's listening, honey, this would be a great present for me. But, you know, the yellow and purple in front of a red house would be beautiful. Fuchsia, traditional, great for shade. And, you know, begonias, lots of new choices. A lot of the cane begonias and angel wing that are a little bigger, more robust, and they kind of droop down a little bit in a good way. And so they really create a nice hanging basket, but also help bring in the hummingbirds right to your window.
Hmm. You know, I was thinking about my mom, rest her soul. She actually appreciated as much as anything just spending time together. And I think, you know, a good gift could be just spending time with mom in the garden.
Oh, you bet. You know, and as we moms get a little older, we're a little slower, a little harder to bend. And, you know, especially if you're new to gardening and your mom is an avid gardener, another gift besides the time is allowing her to share her knowledge with you. My mom recently passed away, and she wasn't a gardener, but she taught me about baking and sewing. And there are times that, when I'm doing something, I think of the lessons she's taught me. And so you're right. This is a gift for both of you. You get to learn. You get to spend time together. And maybe if mom's got creaky joints, I can relate, you can help her haul a little better and faster as well.
Well, you know, there are a couple of events coming up that it would be fun to take mom to, and you're involved in one of them in Hartford, Wisconsin.
You bet. And one of the exciting things about that event is the proceeds. The Hartford Garden Club is sponsoring it, and they had Hans Ace Hardware, who helped support it as well. And the proceeds are going to the support Hartford Garden Club community events. And so they're doing lots of really cool things in that community. And the event is a $12 fee. So again, sharing time with mom. You know, who knows if Mother's Day is going to be a good day to be outside, but we'll be inside. I'll be talking easy and affordable landscape makeovers, selling my new book so you could buy mom her gift right away and sign it. And those proceeds go as well. The Hartford Garden Club's doing some really exciting things, some riverbank planting, some eco-friendly things in the community. So all the proceeds will help support that. So you're giving mom a gift. You're spending time with her, as you mentioned, Larry, one of the best gifts we can give our family. And you're supporting a good cause. And for me, that's a double benefit in a gift when somebody gives me something that helps a cause I believe in. Beautification, community revitalization, those types of things. And so if you're interested, you can visit my website. You can also go, the tickets are for sale at the Shower Center, S-C-H-A-U-E-R Center in Hartford. Go to their website, and then you can get the tickets online as well, or stop by.
And that same day, there's a UW, University of Wisconsin Family Gardening Day, for people in the Madison area. And it's a family-friendly event, runs from 10 in the morning until 2 at our Allen Centennial Gardens and the D.C. Smith Instruction Greenhouse. The gardens are always beautiful. And there's going to be volunteers on hand to answer all kinds of questions about plants and soils and weeds and pests and other advice. I have some other advice as well. Plenty of fun, lots of hands-on activities for the kids. And at the D.C. Smith Greenhouse, I know kids are going to be able to assemble tiny terrariums they can take home. So that's on May 10th as well at the UW Madison campus. So if you're in the Madison area, stop by on May 10th. And I think we have both events up on our Facebook page.
I'll put them up there.
Oh, thanks, Judith.
Sure. Judith just joined me, as a matter of fact, and she will put them up. And it's we really want to promote both events because they're both wonderful events that you can participate in. And there's something else you can participate in as well. This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive, and it's your chance to show your support for all the programs you listen to throughout the year. I hope you'll take that important step when you donate at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, Master Gardener. What? No, you know.
No, I'm not a master. No. Don't
expert,
put that out there.
Expert gardener, Judith Sears Poisson,
you know,
joins us.
You know
us.
Who is going through the Master Gardener program is Kristen Durst from our other network.
Oh,
she
wonderful.
And her mom are doing it together. So
what a wonderful idea.
Yeah, isn't that great? Well, last hour, another great thing is we heard from 26 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. The goal this hour is to get 55 pledges. These goals are set up to make sure that Wisconsin Public Radio has the money to pay for the programs you rely on. So please help us meet that goal with your gift. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed and entertained every day. You get value from this program and also the Kathleen Dunn Show or People's Pharmacy or a Pray Home Companion and the many others you've come to rely on.
WPR gives you a window on the world like no other. So support the exciting mix of shows that you enjoy on this station with your contribution. You can make that contribution at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And as an added incentive today, we have something really special for you right now. It's Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening. What to do each month to have a beautiful garden all year long by Melinda Myers. And it's yours when you give $150 or more, that's $12.50 a month, to the program. So ask for it now when you make your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
I prefer more balanced conversation. That's what took me to WPR. When I got there, I found a whole host of programming that interests me. Gardening shows, home improvement shows, humor shows, word language shows, things that just grab my interest and grab my attention. It's not just one thing. We had been giving on an annual basis for years. I didn't want this to be an annual decision, and I think that's where we decided to make the change and become sustaining members. It was a statement of values as much as a statement of financial commitment. I'm Bruce from Brookfield, Wisconsin. I enjoy being a WPR sustainer, and I think you will too.
You know what? I agree with Bruce. I think you will. I think you will, and I think you should do it right now. Go to WPR.org. Or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during the spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR. Your gift, maybe it's 10 or 15 bucks a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
You first joined the WPR community as a listener, I'm guessing, tuning in every day. And after a while, you know, then it's time to join the community as a donor. Funding the great programs on WPR really is a group effort.
You first joined the WPR community as a listener tuning in every day. And, you know, we do this together, one pledge at a time, $1 at a time. And we're inviting you to join the group right now. You could start with a donation of, if you're it's a first-time person, maybe it's $5 mm-hmm. a month. But easy to set up regardless if it's $5 or maybe it's $12.50 a month, set it up at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
I'm betting one of the things you enjoy about listening to Wisconsin Public Radio is that we're commercial-free. That means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and corporate funding are all important.
Yeah, but the single largest piece of the budget pie comes right from you. Your support makes a difference. Really the backbone of our funding. So I hope you'll make your pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
What does making a pledge mean, really? A pledge is a promise. We pledge to bring you great shows each and every day, and you pledge to support them with a contribution in any amount.
And when you help pay the cost of this station, you make sure, we'll make sure there's something interesting for you to listen to. That's our pledge. So now make yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you're feeling like WPR is worth $1 million, but you don't have quite that much to give. Well, not to worry. Your gift of any amount, whether it's $5 a month or $100 a month, whatever amount is comfortable for you, that is the right amount to give. The important thing is to make that pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. too.
And we are looking for 54 more pledges in the next 40 minutes mm-hmm. or so. Your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
And don't forget, you can ask for the Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening guide, what to do each month to have a beautiful garden all year long. It's by wonderful guest and author Melinda Myers, and it's available to you with a pledge of $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month, and what a perfect way to think about it, Larry. $12.50 mm-hmm. for each month that you get that month-by-month gardening mm-hmm. information. So pledge now. I can guarantee with Melinda's book, your garden will be definitely $12.50 better a month. There's no doubt about that. Pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And if you're already a sustaining member, thank you very much. If you're not, you could become one right now. Easy to set up the ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or from your credit card at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. A lot of people use a credit card mm-hmm. just for the miles, yep. the air miles. A sustaining membership is pretty convenient, actually, and it provides reliable funding for WPR.
Charles and Beverly from West Allis say, we listen as often as possible at home, up north, and in the car. We enjoy the variety of topics. And Gary and Catherine from Shawano say, we listen every day, so we feel the need to provide continuing support. Well, thank you so much to all of you, and thank you to you for considering making your pledge right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And we certainly want you to stay with us as we talk with Melinda Myers here on Garden Talk on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you along for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest Melinda Myers. To let you know, next week on Garden Talk, Molly Fifield-Murray from the UW Arboretum will join us to talk about native plants and their awesome annual plant sale that comes by. Obviously, it's annual, so it's every year. That's next week on Garden Talk. But right now, Melinda Myers here to help you with your spring gardening. And if you have a question, join in. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We certainly love to hear from you. And Melinda, maybe you could talk a little about your brand new Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening book.
Yeah, I'm very excited about it. If you have my older versions, it was divided by annuals, bulbs, trees, and shrubs. So you'd go to annuals and look at what you need to do in January or May, and bulbs in May and June. So what we've done is we've reorganized it and put it all together. So you go to May, and you've got kind of an overview of the things you need to do. Talks about what you need to do, deadheading, pinching, fertilizing, watering. And I continue my low-maintenance approach to gardening, you know, having beautiful landscapes, doing what you need to do to keep the plants healthy, but trying to keep it realistic for those. I think we're all very busy these days, and so trying to keep it fun and realistic and be successful. So I'm very excited. Updated some of the information based on how things change over time and really tried to make it very user-friendly. So continuing kind of my practical approach as I always use, but organizing it a little differently. Lots of beautiful photos. We've got a few more how-to photos, so step-by-step. So if you're a visual person, and I'm not just telling you how to do it, we've got some great images that will help show you how to do it as well. I'm very excited. You know, I was mentioning that I love gifts with a cause, and public radio is a big cause for me, like it is to all your listeners. So I'm very flattered to be part of this, to hopefully help us raise some dollars to keep this great programming that I enjoy as well going.
And the book is a wonderful revision. I think it really works. It really works great.
Thank you.
And I really do like the photography as well. Just always nice to have good photography, good diagrams. It helps me anyway. I'm sure it helps a lot of others.
And I think gardeners we all tend to be very visual. So I think it does. It's trying to make it easy. So no matter how you take in information, we've tried to cover it in this book. And keep it concise so you can get a lot of info in a short period of time, and then get out in the garden and put it to work.
there you go. We have a nice comment from Patrick on Facebook, who said, every year for Mother's Day, my sons and I buy their mother plants, shrubs, or a tree for the yard. This year we are looking for foundation plants less than 4 feet tall in full sun on the south side of the house, but they would be under the water coming off the roof.
Ooh.
Any recommendation?
Okay, well, what my first thought when I'm thinking full sun, you know, lots of light, I'm thinking a lot of those new shrub roses, some of them like the Carefree series are smaller. You can even keep some pruned down. Even the knockout's going to be less than 4 feet tall in our area. If you've got water pouring into that area, then we're looking at moisture lovers. Chokeberry can take full sun, especially if the soils are moist. And chokeberry, aronia, has beautiful white flowers, fruit that the birds tend to leave on till late in the season, so you get to enjoy it throughout most of the winter. The fall color is a spectacular red. In fact, I was at a garden center once, and I thought, oh, they're selling burning bush, and I walked over, and here it was an aronia chokeberry. And so if it's moist, now they get the black variety. It can get a little taller, so you might need to do regular thinning and pruning to keep it down to size. You know, under an overhang can be dry even though the roof water is wet, so you're going to want to watch it. Some of our hydrangeas, the snowball types, need shade. They might get a little fried in that situation depending on how wet it is. Most of our elderberries are going to be too big for that area. You might want to do, you know, Weigela likes it a little bit drier. Spirea, there's a birch leaf spirea that's gorgeous, and also Fothergilla. Birch leaf spirea is a little different than the normal spireas we see. Little different leaf, kind of a blue-green. Oh, beautiful fall color. It's a little different look. Fothergilla is a relative of witch hazel. There are dwarf varieties, some with blue-green leaves, excellent fall color. They'll take it moist as long as it's not standing water, and that might be a nice one, and you can get a dwarf variety that definitely would stay in that area. So check out Fothergilla. It will take the sun, especially if you've got that moist soil condition. So that's kind of tricky because you picked it right. Sun is usually hot, dry plants, so moist and sun, just select a little more carefully.
Talking with Melinda Myers. You can join in, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234. Give us a call. We'll get you on pretty quickly. The number 1-800-642-1234. If you have a gardening question, maybe you want to know how to specifically attract certain types of butterflies or bees or birds, or what plants do you find that are wildlife magnets? Love to hear from you. 1-800-642-1234. Melinda, you have some great advice to share for creating a colorful garden that's filled with birds and butterflies and blossoms. And certainly we can get that in part out of your new revised book. But what are some key things to consider when planning a bird and butterfly friendly garden?
Well, we'll talk about food, which is the plants. You know, definitely the easiest way to attract is to provide a food source. And we'll talk about a few specifics in a minute. But we often don't think about water. So a bird bath, place some stones in it, though, so the birds can stand above the water and sip if they don't want to submerge themselves, also helps bring in the butterflies. Sink a shallow container or bucket filled with sand into the ground and keep it damp, and then the minerals from the water collect on that sand, and you'll often see butterflies coming in that puddle and lapping up the minerals. And somebody pointed out they also see bees coming, too, because they like those minerals. And that's a great way to get a photo op, to enjoy a lot of butterflies in one space. Food, I mentioned, and shelter. You know, think of some shrubby plants like junipers that really are protective for your birds, keep the predators away. Think of berry plants like the aronia, like our dogwoods that have berries. Think of seeds for our birds like our coneflowers that are excellent. But then also think about our hummingbirds. I love to use salvia, like black and blue salvia, big billowy plant, and the hummingbirds love it. I can get them right to my deck, right outside my office window, and watch them nectaring. And I don't even have to use a hummingbird feeder, which is a good thing, but a little more work than a pot of salvia. So I like those low-maintenance things. And food for the caterpillars, parsley, dill, great way to feed the caterpillars. They will munch quite a bit, but it'll come back when they're done feeding, so you won't even notice the damage if you have a lot of diversity in your garden. And it's fun for the kids to watch those caterpillars munch away, pupate, and then turn into a butterfly.
Yeah.
It's still magical to me at this point in my life. It's just amazing.
Me too. And Mandy in DeSoto has something to share with us. Hi, Mandy. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, sure. When my mother was in the nursing home, people often got hyacinths as potted plants.
Yes.
So I would collect all the dying hyacinths and plant them out in my yard. They're still flourishing 10 years later, and they multiply, and they're so carefree.
You know, that's a great point. And, you know, they're wonderfully wonderful fragrant. And forest bulbs, great idea. I love to just leave mine in a sunny window, keep them growing, cut off the faded flowers. I may throw in some flowering plant food. And then when the conditions are right, I put mine in the garden right away because I forget if I wait till fall.
Yeah.
You know, you can also put them in a cool, dark spot until fall and plant them. But if you pop them in the garden when the soil's workable after the tops have died back, you're right. You may not get blooms the next spring, but definitely the following year. So great suggestion. A good way to keep that garden going year after year. So, and that memory, too.
I have
great
another
idea.
Suggestion.
Sure.
Okay.
For the south-facing foundation plant.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It loses its leaves in winter. But one of my favorite plants is Dervilla lanicera, dwarf bush honeysuckle, which is not the invasive honeysuckle.
Right.
But it's very tolerant of all kinds of conditions. So
good
it's
point.
One of my favorite. It does stay low. It's not a real showy plant, but it's a great adaptable plant.
There's also a variegated variety called Cool Splash. Will probably scorch in that real hot sun because that was one I was thinking of. But the straight species has yellow blooms in the summer, kind of a purplish green leaf in the fall. And you're right, it's one of our natives. And then Cool Splash, if you got a little break from the hot afternoon sun, is a beautiful plant, low growing. We have it growing actually at our State Fair Park, very close to Garden Glow Dogwood, which is a wonderful cultivar with bright limey green foliage in the spring that turns to bright green in the summer, red stems in the winter. I'm just worried if it's a full sun all day, it might be a little hot, but it definitely would take the moist soil. So thank you. That's a great suggestion.
Thanks, Mandy.
A wonderful plant.
Yeah, appreciate it. Bob in Oak Park, Illinois. Your turn. Hi, Bob.
Hello. I've got a question about fertilizing lettuce. I put some nice seedlings out, and they're doing pretty well, but I just wanted to see what's a good way to fertilize them so they get lots of leaves and head up real nice for me.
Are they in a pot or in the soil?
They're in the soil, in a raised bed.
Yeah, I would. One of the things I find is I'm really a fan of a low-nitrogen, slow-release fertilizer. It will encourage leaf growth and nice and steady. Lettuce loves this cool weather we're having, though, you know, hopefully it's going to stay a little bit warmer
yes.
for that lettuce. Have you had problems in the past? Now, you growing head lettuce, did you say, or leaf lettuce? I'm sorry.
Well, these are small butter crunch type
okay.
lettuces, different shaped
yeah.
leaves, but they're not meant to be huge, just kind of small, but I was
kinda
hoping
loose
to get
heads.
Yeah.
You know, I think if you don't have a soil test, typically a 3 pounds per 100 square foot of a low nitrogen fertilizer is a good starting point. And is your soil clay or loamy or sandy?
In the raised bed, it's fairly loamy. It's nice and loose.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, and so I would start with 3 pounds. If you have it, and you can always add more in side dress if you need to, but if you start with 3 pounds per 100 square feet, that's going to encourage good steady growth, and that should give you good productivity. Some of our loose head lettuce, one of the problems happens is if hot weather comes in, it tends to blast just like our leaf lettuce does. So, yeah, I would get some low-nitrogen slow-release. The other thing we can do is if the temperatures look like they're really going to drop, throwing a little floating row cover over the area to get it started quickly when the temperatures are really cool, even though lettuce can take it, it pushes it along. Remove it then as the temperatures are starting to stay a little bit warmer, and that might help push it too because it might be spring plantings are always tough for us because we either get a short spring or an early summer, right? It's like it's cold and then it's hot. And that makes it tough for peas and some of our heading lettuce and broccoli. So I do a lot of summer planting for fall harvest, and using the Remae is a great way to push it a little early so that you can speed things along. So I think that would work great.
That would work great. Thank you very much for calling. And speaking of lettuce, let us return to Judith Sears Poisson, one of our great vegetable growers here at Wisconsin Public Radio.
That I will almost let
I
you say
she
about
she won
me.
The championship last year for her rutabagas.
Yeah. I got some good-looking rutabagas. Rutabagies, isn't that how I'm
rutabagies, yeah. She helps us grow our financial situation as well, because we're right in the Wisconsin Public Radio Spring Membership Drive. And she and I are here today to raise the money that pays for the programs you enjoy. So I hope you'll give your support at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And we are looking to get 48 more pledges in the next 25 minutes. So your pledge right now helps keep this program going strong.
Make your contribution right now. It's easy, and you'll feel good about it at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, at the beginning of the show, Melinda Myers said that people come up to her and say, oh, I heard you on the Larry Miller show. Is Larry as nice a guy as he sounds like he is? And Melinda, like I say when I get the same question, said, yes, he is just that nice, just that genuine, just that really naturally enthusiastic and curious, and that's what makes him such a wonderful host. Larry has been on the air at WPR since 1967, correct, Larry?
Yes.
And I have to say, every day of those, I'm not even going to try to count how many years, Larry has given his all to making great programs possible, bringing on great guests, and inviting our wonderful listeners into the conversation. You really don't get a show like this anywhere else. And this show is possible, pledge by pledge, only by listener support of Wisconsin Public Radio. So show your support now for WPR, for the Ideas Network, for Garden Talk, for Larry. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And one of the things that makes the job easy and fun is the quality of the guests that we have. And I'm telling you, we have some wonderful guests on Garden Talk shows. We just have great experts. And one of the best, Melinda Myers, with us today. And you can get her newly revised book. It's Minnesota and Wisconsin, Month-by-Month Gardening, What to Do Each Month to Have a Beautiful Garden All Year Long. Make your contribution of $150 or more, but $150, that's $12.50 a month. Your donation supports the programs you count on, and you can also get this nice thank you gift. So I hope you'll pledge right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Well, and you know, Larry, if we had a gardener on call for us, it would cost a whole lot more than $12.50 a month.
Yeah.
To get that book with all that great advice, you know, people love when Melinda's on for a really good reason. She not only knows her stuff, but she can communicate it well, and that all comes through in the book. You know, maybe you've only discovered Wisconsin Public Radio recently. Well, we want you to know that WPR is listener-driven, not profit-driven. We're able to bring you more programs per hour because we don't have to take time out for long blocks of commercials.
Our business is to inform and entertain you and give you some quality programs to enjoy. WPR is really your station, and it's only possible because listeners like you give what they can to support it. So I hope you'll show your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and 47 more to go here before before we reach our goal. Yeah, before we reach our goal. So again, that number to call, 888-202-2552, or go to WPR.org and make your contribution.
I have many favorites. I like the music for casual listening, but when I want to pay attention, when I want to do intentional listening, then I like anything that Larry Miller does. I do like Chapter a Day. In fact, I usually try to catch that twice, both early in the day and late at night. I like Saturday morning, Classics by Request, and I love the folk music program on Sunday evening. I like all the NPR offerings, especially Prairie Home Companion and All Things Considered. I listen all the time. I'm Lorraine Henning from Eau Claire, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for intellectual stimulation.
Thank you, Lorraine, and I hope you'll make your contribution right now in support of the programs you count on, programs like Garden Talk, at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears-Poisson asking for your gift to listener-supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe your pledge is $5 a month, or maybe it's $100 a month. We appreciate and count on your gift.
Give the amount that's right for you. And if you need some help figuring that out, think about it this way. Say you hear three things a day that you're really glad you heard. If you pay a dime for each one of those, that would work out to $10 a month. So don't delay. Make that contribution now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio. As Judith has talked about, a sustaining membership is wonderful. It's automatically renews. You don't have to remember to renew every year. And that $5 a month or $15 or $20 a month, perhaps a little more painless. Some people say it is that way anyway. So set it up at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552, and then you can just sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting great radio.
So we're looking for 45 more pledges in the next 15 minutes or so. You can ask for Melinda's book. That's at the $12.50 a month or $150 pledge. You can do that now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And be sure to ask for that Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening book, What to Do Each Month to Have a Beautiful Garden All Year Long, when you pledge $150 or more, $12.50 a month, as Judith said. Pledge now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Great to have you listening in for this edition of Garden Talk. I'm Larry Mueller with my guest, Melinda Myers, Milwaukee-based garden expert. And Lisa in the Village of Summit has a question for you,
okay.
Melinda. So let's go to her. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for waiting.
Hey, thanks, Larry. Hi, Melinda.
Hi, Lisa.
Yes, I have a challenging garden spot that I'm going to just briefly describe, and I know you'll be able to have some suggestions about what I could plant there. We recently moved in. We live in a small cottage, and it's on a lake. So this area is getting pelted by wind a lot because
okay.
the wind comes right off the lake. Primarily, Melinda, once the trees flower in, and leaf in, I should say, it's very shady. There had been an old ancient lilac that we dug out and because I wanted to put something a little more ornamental in there. And I've had a challenge with everything drying out so much, even with daily watering, because of that lake breeze. Do you have any suggestions for this spot, which, again, it's shady and windy?
Hmm.
Yeah, and the wind I can relate to. I have sunshine, but I just moved a year and a half ago, and the winds whipping through here are unbelievable. And every place I think I'm sheltered, boy, I find I'm wrong. And so you have that added challenge of the shade, which really makes it tough. Your soils, are they very sandy and well drained, or are they moist and holding the moisture other than the
well
plants drying out?
Yep, well drained, because this is a raised bed. It's
okay.
a kind of a terraced, it's a terraced garden bed, and so it is raised. So then that's another way that it gets dry, you know, because it's raised.
Okay, boy, you do have a challenge. Okay, and the soil, is it possible, is there anything in there now? You took out the lilac, which is
yes.
one of the more wind-tolerant plants. Do you have anything in those beds right now?
I just had some flowers that were shade-tolerant, like Lady Slipper and that black negligee, I forget the...
Oh, the Simisifuga actea, snake bug bane,
yes.
snake root.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Do you want some height, I'm assuming, is
yes,
one of
ma'am.
The...
yes, please.
Okay.
Nah.
Well, okay.
Well, I might be disappointing you, but let's see if we can try. There are a couple things that I would think that you might want to give a shot to. There's a ground cover, so at least we'll start at the ground level and work our way up. There's a ground cover called Epimedium that's shade and drought tolerant once it's established. And what's cool about it is in the spring, the leaves open up green with a tinge of red, heart-shaped on wiry stems. You can get varieties with white, yellow, or red flowers. Then the leaves hold up all summer, and in fall they turn red, and some persist in the winter. So that might help give you some covering on the ground. I would definitely mulch. If you have areas that you can add organic matter, that will help increase the water-holding ability, but mulching even in raised beds is very helpful. Grasses that are, do you think it gets
can
4 hours?
Can we just stop at mulch? Can I just insert a question
sure.
while you're on mulch?
Oh, sure.
like wood chip, wood chip mulch, or, you know, the red wood chips that you can find in garden centers in the big bags, would that be what you would recommend as mulch?
Well, it would probably hold together. I'm a big fan of shredded leaves or evergreen needles if you have a source, because they break down quickly and they add organic matter. But any of the hardwood mulches will last longer, might give you a little more weight, or even a twice shredded bark mulch will net together. I don't know if you're having problems with mulch blowing away, but I find leaves, and if you get enough cover on there. So that's an option. No weed barrier underneath it. You want it to break down and improve the soil. So, you know, find a mulch that you like the looks and one that the wind won't blow, and then the wood mulch is fine. Or you could do the shredded leaves, or even a composted leaf material is nice too.
Mm-hmm.
That might be a possibility. There's hawthorn grass, which is one of the few ornamental grasses that takes heavy shade. But do you have, how much sunlight do you think you're getting in this area?
Oh, wow. Probably just about 10% of the day. It's,
okay,
it's pretty
so just
heavy
a few
shade.
Hours. Yeah. Just a few hours. Have you tried any, you know, the spireas? I've seen some of the lower-growing spireas really hold up, like the alpine spirea hold up in heavy shade.
Okay. I haven't tried that.
And the other thing is they're pretty tough, so they could take the wind. You know, other shade, when I think of probably what you've tried, those shade-tolerant shrubs usually don't like the wind. And so things with finer leaves, you know, we had somebody recommend Dervilla. I've seen it in full sun. A Cool Splash is a beautiful one that's shade-tolerant, a little bit lower growing. I would try one and see how it does. Mm-hmm. I've seen Carl Forrester feathery grass take the wind and the shade pretty well, and that gets about 4 feet tall.
Yeah.
And that might be a nice break as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so you might want to try a couple of different things and try a few of them. Some of the low-growing spireas, you might want to try the Carl Forrester feathery grass. I've also seen some Miscanthus, smaller varieties, you know, like Miss Kitten is about 3 feet. They'll take, that just may be too shady for them, so I'd just try one.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd try to give a few of those. Try a Cool Splash Dervilla, beautiful. I haven't seen it in really heavy winds. And then the other thing you're going to do is water thoroughly and less frequently. So initially you're going to have to water often, but then try to train those roots to grow deep, and that's going to help a lot in terms of extending that time. And maybe even if you can install a drip irrigation system or soaker hoses, so when you turn it on, it can slowly moisten that top 12 inches of soil. But I'd try those. I'm worried Garden Glow dogwood will take the shade. It might be tattered a bit much in the wind. Elderberries are tough. They'll take a pretty good shade. They're bigger plants, but you might want to check that out, too, if you want some big. I mean, these get 6 feet tall. I don't know if that's too tall. But I would do a couple initially, and then maybe just try some annuals or some perennials that you've had some luck with that you could always move around. And if you find something that's doing well, then plant more of them.
Well, there you go. All right.
Good luck. That's a tough situation. We may have to compare notes in a couple of years.
That is a very, very tough situation to deal with. Our guest today, Melinda Myers, Milwaukee-based gardening expert. She is the author of more than 20 books, including the brand-new Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening. And a budding author joins us as well, Judith Sears Poisson, who has a number of books in her head that she's been trying to, that have been trying to get out.
They have. They kind of knock around in there. They, sometimes it's uncomfortable.
She wants to write a book about spring membership drives, and I tell you what, she's living, she's experiencing it right now as we speak, and so are you. Your support is the foundation of our budget during this spring membership drive. We want to tell you, you are what make Wisconsin Public Radio great, and I hope you will support us. We'll get back to Melinda in just a bit, but Judith Sears Poisson and I are encouraging you to go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 right now to make your gift in support of the programs you count on.
And we are still looking for 42 more pledges in the next 6 minutes or so, 8 minutes maybe, if we really stretch it. Thank you so much if you've already given. If you haven't, stay on track. Help us stay on track by making your contribution right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552 is how to do it.
Every week we hear from a different guest expert about one of your favorite pastimes, gardening. Some guests are horticulture professors who can answer a wide variety of general questions. Others specialize in maybe it's lawns or trees or vegetables or native plants. Or then we have wonderful experts like our guest today, Melinda Myers, who can talk about a whole range
everything.
Of topics. Yeah, everything. I hope you'll support this program. Support the great advice Melinda gives. Support Garden Talk as a program on Wisconsin Public Radio with your pledge at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, you can choose Melinda's Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening, what to do each month to have a beautiful garden all year long. It's one of Melinda's many wonderful books, and you can have it as your thank you gift for your pledge of $150 or more. That comes out to $12.50 a month. Your support is really crucial to the program's like Garden Talk that you enjoy, and we know you'll really enjoy the book. Make your pledge now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So I've been living in Wisconsin for roughly the last 20 years. I came here for school. I think I became a member when I was in my mid-20s. Whenever I could, I would try to send $20 or something and whatever I could manage at that time. I've always imagined that it would be fun to be a philanthropist, and if I thought something was really a wonderful cause that I could give them $1 million, just, you know, open my checkbook. There are not nearly as many zeros involved, but in a small way, I'm a small-scale philanthropist. It definitely feels like money that's going to a good cause. When I became a sustainer, it felt like there was an additional connection. To me, it's a no-brainer. When I became a sustainer, it just made things that much better. Sort of like the way it felt when I got married a couple years ago. I loved him a lot, but when I married him, it felt even that much better. My name is Lisa, and I live in Monona, Wisconsin. I really enjoy being a sustainer, and I encourage you to do the same.
I hope you'll take that advice and pledge at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson, asking for your support of WPR during our spring membership drive. And maybe your gift is $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We're pretty sure that the programs you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. And I'm pretty sure that you have at least once gotten information about your garden that you thought, oh, that's what I need to do, or oh, that's what I shouldn't have done. Well, you're listening right now, and it's a good bet that you listen every day, or maybe you listen to Garden Talk religiously every week. During this spring membership drive, we're asking you to put your money where your values are.
Your gift of whatever amount you choose, maybe it's $5 a month, $10 a month, it all makes a difference. That's because we rely on listener support for the single largest piece of our budget. So make that difference right now with your gift at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. And Judith, we have a ways to go.
We do. 42 more pledges in the next 3 minutes. Please help us make this goal. Whatever your reason is for listening to Wisconsin Public Radio and this program, that's also your reason for giving. Maybe WPR is your place to find out about state issues or to hear what experts and callers have to say on all kinds of topics. Maybe it's because you love gardening and you want to have the healthiest garden that supports wildlife and is something beautiful to look at and maybe something delicious to eat too. Maybe you love all of our weekend shows.
And we have, we need about 42 more pledges in the next 3 to 4 minutes. Your pledge right now helps pay for the programs you count on all year long. Thanks if you've already given. If you haven't, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, another way you can help is by telling your friends and family. Bragging about it, even.
Yeah, whether you use social media, call them up, or mention it when you see them, just letting them know that you support WPR will help plant that idea in their mind. So make your gift at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552, and then let your friends know how good it feels when you support the station you enjoy every day.
Did you do that on purpose, Larry? Did you say plant that idea on Garden Talk?
I did. I tried to sneak it through.
It made me smile. And if Larry makes you smile, think of your contribution to WPR as an investment in your future listening. To Larry, to Garden Talk, to all of the great programming on the Ideas Network, give us just a few minutes of your time right now and your donation in any amount. And in return, you'll get lots of great programs.
Looking for 39 more pledges right now in the next couple of minutes. Your gift right now at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552 supports the programs you count on.
And don't forget, you can ask for Melinda Meyer's wonderful book, Minnesota and Wisconsin Month-by-Month Gardening Guide. It's yours with your pledge of $150 or more. That's $12.50 a month. It's 12 months of great gardening info, $12.50 a month. What a deal. Pledge now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Here is your chance to put a vote in for Garden Talk and all the Garden Talk programs that we have throughout the year, 52 of them, and we have really enjoyed the wonderful guests that we have on Garden Talk. If you enjoy the show, I know you do, pledge now at WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552. You can still help us make our goal. That's 888-202-2552. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, Larry Mueller. And for this edition of Garden Talk, we are really pleased to have Melinda Myers, our Milwaukee-based garden expert. She's authored more than 20 books, including one that we've featured today. It's called Minnesota and Wisconsin Month-by-Month Gardening. She is also the host of Melinda's Garden Moments, and it's always great to have her visit. Melinda, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Always my pleasure, Larry.
We have had a question from somebody who wondered about transplanting pine trees. Is that a difficult process?
You know, the bigger the plant, the more challenging it is and the lower your success rate. I remember when years ago with the Young Adult Conservation Corps, we moved quite a few. The best time to move them is either spring before growth begins. So the good part about this cool spring is we've had a longer season for transplanting. Things are a little slow. Or fall after most plants have gone dormant. I really like spring transplanting for pines. In my book, I do talk about transplanting and give some guidelines. The key is as big of a root ball as you can manage. You know, bigger root balls are better, but if you're going to drop it because it's too heavy, it really doesn't pay off. So really kind of, you know, if it's a 6 foot or less evergreen, you probably have a good chance making that root ball at least 16 inches in diameter and about 16 inches deep. Get a friend to help. You know, I like to take some burlap and then slide it under. So dig wide around, a little bit bigger than the root ball you're going to make. Then come closer, undercut the roots. You may need a lopper if you have some big roots to cut through those. Slide the burlap under. This is where you need a buddy to help. So you each grab an end and then move it to its new location. You can either slide the burlap out or cut it away and then plant it at the same depth it was growing before. You know, a lot of times I'll have a wheelbarrow handy, so I just set it in there. If I'm going to have to leave that plant sit, I just did some transplanting recently. We'll tie up and use twine to wrap that burlap in place. So it can be done. Post-transplant care is critical. You know, you're going to need to water more often initially, and then gradually, like you do with any new planting, cut back so you do thorough and less frequent. But check it several times a week. The weather and the type of soil will influence how often you water. And wait a year before you fertilize for best results.
Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois, has a comment. Hi, Lynn.
Hi there, Larry. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks to you and Melinda for a wonderful show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to second Melinda's thoughts on epimedium. We have several of them, and one goes back to many years ago. One of our beloved pets died, and I bought the plant because it had heart-shaped leaves, which I thought described the relationship with our beloved pet. And it does very well in a wooded setting. It does well in a, you know, and we have clay soil. I mean, there's, you know, nothing good about our soil. except that it's the forest epimedium. And another plant I love for early, I love the early spring ones before there's other competition, pulmonaria.
Oh, yes.
That blue and lavender with the spotted green leaf, and sweet woodruff, which has this marvelous scent, and bloodroot, which just has this almost daisy-like flower. Winter aconite has this yellow, bright flower. It's bloomed through the snow before. Mm-hmm. But this winter, which was so long and intense, it seems, these plants, when I was really looking for them, they just come up and stay despite, you know, changes in weather and hail and who knows what. And they're low. They don't get all the damage as some of those higher plants get later on. And they come back, and some, like the scilla, just spread, and they are the most wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, you bring up
cheer-upper.
Cheer-uppers.
You know, exactly. And pulmonaria is great for hummingbirds. You know, I've seen many hummingbirds come to visit those early blooms. So great suggestion, great shade tolerance. And sweet woodruff has those nice narrow leaves. So even if they hit a little bit of wind, it'd help bring that nice fragrance. And they use that for May wine as well. So that's what gives the flavor to May wine. So that really helps cheer you up, right, Lynn?
That, absolutely.
Those are great suggestions. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Lynn.
Spring is so important. After long winters, normal winters, it's important, but even after this long winter, it really is important. So thanks for sharing, and you must be a very visionary garden because not a lot of people were using epimedium a while ago. So it's one that's gaining popularity, and it's a good, tough plant. So thank you. Hopefully others will try some of those as well.
Thanks, Lynn. Thank you for calling. I want to give Nikki and Elkhorn a chance to join in. Nikki, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi there.
What can we do for you?
I have a question about my vegetable garden. I have thistles that are going crazy all of a sudden, and I was wondering how to get rid of them.
Well, if you want to go organic, obviously the best option is to dig and repeatedly cutting them back. So, you know, if you don't get the whole taproot, you know they're going to keep coming back. That's one option. You can solarize. The only problem with that is to be most effective with solarization, you have to really cover your garden for 6 weeks in the hottest part of the season. So that's our main growing season. So probably not what you're going to want to do. If you don't mind using a chemical, you know, wiping on Roundup, not only will it kill the top, but it's translocated and goes into the root system. And by wiping it on the leaves, not with your hands, but using a sponge brush, or one gardener told me he and his neighbor did the tongs of death, and they put sponges on the end of tongs that they only used in the garden and wiped it on the leaves. So you can really use minimal product, concentrate it, it goes through the roots. You know, once you get them under control, mulching will help reduce problems with the seed sprouting. So that can be your long-term solution. But, boy, hot, dry weather of 2012, last summer the thistles did great. And, you know, they give thousands of seeds. So, and if they're sprouting already, they're probably perennials. They've probably been up. They probably have a good root system. So continual cultivation, cutting them back at ground level, keeping up with it, mulching. And then if you don't mind using a total vegetation killer, and then just spot treat it. If you don't want to wipe it on, what I'll do often is take a milk jug, cut out the bottom, or a 2-liter soda bottle, put it over my weed, spritz on the Roundup, let it drip dry, move it to the next one. So I protect the good ones and minimize the impact on the soil. Check the label. It will tell you from application to planting time. And if you're doing just wiping it on, you know, and spot treating, that as long as you don't hit your good vegetables, you're okay.
There you go.
Okay. What about like using vinegar?
You know, there's vinegar. There are lots of recipes out there. It burns off the top. There are lots of grass and weed killers that burn off the top, but not necessarily effective with the root. So that's the only downside with that. And you want to be very careful, too, in terms of once it hits the soil. I've seen mixed reviews. It's, again, one I would try to concentrate on the weed. And finding a formulation online, there's several different formulations, but you typically don't get that good control on the roots. So, again, you could either cut it off or continually treat it with that.
There you go, Nikki. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate your call. We had a Facebook question from Brianna who said, I planted tulips and crocuses 2 years ago. Last year, the rabbits ate them all down. This year, I have lovely leaves but no blooms. I remember my grandma saying that when bulbs aren't planted deep enough, they'll make pups and no flowers. Is this true, and can I replant them now or wait till fall?
Well, I hate to argue with Grandma, but, you know, early blooming daffodils, crocus, and tulips, especially this year, if they started to come up and the buds were exposed, you know, we've had freezing temperatures throughout this spring, and if those buds have started to open, they're very tender, and that can damage them, so that could be the problem. Tulips that don't bloom, crocus that don't bloom, one, make sure no animals have eaten the flowers before you noticed them. But one of the problems, too, is, you know, if they're in an area, if they bloom regularly without animals and they're in enough sunlight and you haven't over-fertilized, it's probably just weather-related, not depth of planting. If you're concerned about the planting depth, it's more likely to see the bulb, not so much the temperature. We've had good insulation with the snow this winter, so it's probably more likely they started to grow and the buds that you didn't notice, or they might have been just at ground level, killing frost might have knocked those flower buds out. So I would leave them in place if they've normally been good. Hybrid tulips often aren't long-lived in terms of flowering, where you'll get leaves and no flowers after the first couple years, usually because they get too hot in the summer. That's where depth does matter. And then they're just bred to be really knock-your-socks-off floriferous, but not long-lived. And so going to species tulips like the Kaufmannii, the Darwins, those tend to be longer-lived bloom and leaf-wise.
Sandy in Janesville has a question. Hi, Sandy.
Hi. We have... our garage in the afternoon gets really, really hot. So I have lots of hot sun in the afternoon. By 5 o'clock, it's just baking. And it's shady in the morning. And I was wondering if you could make some suggestions as to what shrubs would survive that kind of environment. And I'm also having a hard time even planting anything in the window box that's on that window of the garage.
What kind of soil do you have, Sandy?
It's pretty clayish.
Okay.
It's here in Janesville.
Okay. Oh, in Janesville. Sorry. What I would do is try to amend the soil first. That's going to help in terms of improved drainage, which sounds crazy with that hot, hot sun, but that will definitely help. Again, you know, a lot of the things that like it hot also like it dry. Have you tried Weigela? There's lots of new varieties out there, anywhere from 18 inches tall to 5 feet tall with green variegated or bronze foliage. They tend to do well in... Pardon me?
Excuse me. We did have one there. However, what happens is that it grows towards the sun, so it gets real lopsided.
Okay, so you've got it. Okay, so you're ended up... Can you move it out away from the garage at all,
okay,
or do you have a narrow area?
Well, it's probably about, it's probably 4 feet.
Okay.
The bed is about 4 feet deep.
Does it need to look good in the winter?
No, not necessarily. It'd be nice, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you tried ornamental grasses and perennials, which will still have winter interest, but a little different than a shrub?
Okay. No, I have not tried the ornamental grasses.
Here's some things I would try. Ornamental grasses, wide variety. Some of your sedums. Sedums like full sun, but if they're getting sun half a day, they'll be able to take the heat pretty well. You know, I think of potentillas for hot, hot areas, but they need good drainage. And you might want to try one or two potentillas, but I'm afraid it's going to lean as well.
You might want to try cat mint, not the aggressive kind, but like Walker's Low. Cat Meow is a little bit smaller. Those will take it hot, and if you get a good 6 or 8 hours, you should be okay with sunlight, and these tend to not get a lot of disease problems like shrub roses I love, but if you're shaded in the morning and hot in the afternoon, it may or may not lead to problems with powdery mildew and things because the leaves stay in shade early in the day. Those might be options as well. You might want to try one or two. So I would look at some Weigela. You could try a Potentilla. Again, it may do some leaning. Ornamental grasses come in a variety of sizes. Most of them like sun. So if they're getting that hot afternoon sun, sedum, cat mint, those would be some things, I think, to make a nice mixed bed. I think would give you a lot of variety, some winter interest, and then changing throughout the season. For your window box, try some succulents. It's kind of become the new rage, which I think is really cool because hot and dry, even though it's shaded in the morning, that hot, dry in the afternoon, window box is drying out faster. You know, maybe see if you can try some succulents. I've seen some really cool window boxes doing that, and it was a fun way to get succulents at eye level because they tend to be smaller because of our winters. They don't make it outside. Maybe try a few of those as well.
That's a good idea. Thank you, Sandy, very much for calling. I appreciate your call. Melinda, always a great pleasure. Thank you so much for all the things you do for us at Wisconsin Public Radio and for our Garden Talk listeners.
Well, thank you, Larry. It's always a pleasure, and please call in and pledge. It's a great show that I listen to when I'm not on because I always learn a lot from you and your guests. Thanks, Larry.
Thank you, Melinda. Melinda Myers, our guest today, she's does a wonderful job every single time she's here, and somebody who does a wonderful job day in and day out every day here at Wisconsin Public Radio is our producer, Judith Sears-Poisson, who joins us, and she's here to tell you that listener contributions are the single largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value on the air, so I hope you'll make your contribution now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And last hour, we heard from 20 listeners. Thank you so much for those pledges. Our goal for this half hour, really the next 10 minutes, is another 20 pledges. So we're going to need your help to get there. Pledges like yours support the programs you count on. An anonymous donor from Appleton says, I look forward to listening to Garden Talk each week, along with many other favorites on WPR. Thank you for the quality programming. And Larry, I can't believe that there is anything that Melinda Myers still has to learn, and she learns it here on Garden Talk. So if you're learning from Garden Talk and the Larry Mueller Show and all of the great programs on Wisconsin Public Radio, pledge now. And thanks if you've already given. If not, be the next person to make the programs possible with your gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
I always love talking with Melinda Myers about gardening, and I bet you enjoy listening to her as well. It's an example of these important and informative conversations that we have on the show all week, but especially on Garden Talk. It's wonderful. I hope you'll take a few minutes now to make this program and the many more programs that we have possible. Choose a gift amount that works for you, then make your pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We know you give to WPR to support the programs, but we have a special added incentive for you right now. It's Melinda Myers' Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening, what to do each month to have a beautiful garden all year long. It's a great book, so useful, and it's yours when you give $150 a month. $150 or more. Well, we would give it to you, too, if you gave us $150 a month. But the important thing is it's $12.50 a month, and there is a month's worth of information in every chapter. So perfect gift for a perfect pledge. Ask for it now when you make your gift. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
We do hear great stories from WPR listeners every day. They're usually about how the station or WPR touches their lives. The donor comments you hear during this pledge drive, I think, are really good examples of that.
Right. And Cindy from Custer said, I love Larry Mueller. He's so smart in so many areas. I love WPR. And even though I'm a sustainer, I wanted to make an extra contribution. Well, thank you so much, Cindy. These stories remind us of how we're connected to each other as a community. We all love great radio programs, programs that engage us, inspire us, make us think, make us laugh. Your contribution right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes great WPR experiences possible for you and for the community.
And maybe you're interested in playing a larger role in supporting WPR. The 9XM Leadership Circle is a group of listeners who contribute $1,200 or more a year to support WPR programs. And as an added attraction, I will give you the secret handshake to get into the meetings.
Well, there you go. Leadership Circle members value the compelling public radio programming that so many people in our communities rely on. They want to make sure it will be here today, tomorrow, for all who listen. If you'd like to increase your support to WPR and join the 9XM Leadership Circle, you can do that or make your one-time pledge at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
For me, it's really a sense of a connection to the world and the world of ideas. It keeps me informed. It keeps me thinking. I can't remember the number of times that I've had conversations with people saying, oh, I heard something this morning on Wisconsin Public Radio or National Public Radio. And then it's a way of having a very interesting discussion with other people about some of those ideas. And so I think that it keeps me informed and it keeps me thinking and is a way of engaging other people in important ideas. This is David Corey from Green Bay, Wisconsin, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for information in the arts, culture, politics, and the world.
Thank you very much, David. I hope you will give to WPR, Wisconsin Public Radio. All you have to do is go to WPR.org or phone 888-202-2552 to make your pledge during the spring membership drive. Larry Mueller here with Judith Sears Poisson asking for your support of WPR. And maybe your gift is $10 or $15 a month. Whatever amount you choose, that's the right amount.
Help pay for the programs you depend on. We are still looking for 15 more pledges in the next 3 minutes. Make your donation now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
If you've never given before, but you look forward to listening to WPR every day, I think that's a sign that it's time to donate. It means that WPR is important to you.
For example, Elizabeth from Stillwater, Minnesota says, I need to upgrade to a sustaining membership because of all those notes scribbled on any available piece of paper of some great tip or resource I just heard on the radio that applies to something going on in my life. Well, if that rings true for you, you know that we're important to you and you're important to us because we're listener-supported radio. We count on the financial support from people like you, people who rely on WPR to bring them something special every day. Your gift of $5 a month or whatever amount feels right to you makes you a member of WPR, and it really makes a difference. So do that right now. Make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You've made a habit of listening to Wisconsin Public Radio, so now I hope you'll make a habit of donating. We are looking for 15 more donations during the next 3 minutes or so. It's a good habit to get into, a habit you can be proud of. Get started today with your pledge of any amount at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And because you're listening to Garden Talk, what better thank you for your gift than the Minnesota and Wisconsin month-by-month gardening, what to do each month to have a beautiful garden all year long. It's by Melinda Myers. It's chock full of great information that you can start using immediately and use all year. It's yours with a pledge of $150 or more that comes out to $12.50 a month. So pledge now, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
And we are now down to crunch time where we have 14 more contributions to reach our goal. If you haven't contributed yet, make your vote for Garden Talk
this
right now.
This is the last time to pledge during Larry's show in this drive, so do it right now. WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you very much.